So our second reading then, our Old Testament reading, is from 2 Chronicles 29. Second Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from their habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also have they shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Then the Levites arose, Mahalat the son of Amasai, and Joel the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites, and of the sons of Merari, Kish the son of Abdi, and Azariah the son of Jehalalel, and of the Gershonites, Joah the son of Zimah, and Eden the son of Joah, and the sons of Elisaphan, Shimri, and Jeiel, and the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, and Mattaniah. And the sons of Haman, Jehiel, and Shimei, and of the sons of Jeduthun, Shemaiah, and Uziel. And they gathered their brethren, and sanctified themselves, and came, according to the commandment of the king, by the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the Lord, of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. Then they went in to Hezekiah the king and said, We have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof, and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom, and for the sanctuary, and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bullocks, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar, Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. And the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad the king's seer and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also, with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in the sacrifices and thank offerings, as many as were of a free heart, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, and 100 rams, 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, kind of a lengthy chapter, but if the air in the last service was fouled and stench-ridden because of the reign of Ahaz, now a fresh and wonderful breeze blows through the people of God in Hezekiah. And so we enjoy reading about Hezekiah. He was 29 years old when he began to reign. Well, that's a very young man, and yet the Lord had endued him with such a godly soul at such a young age. Beloved, it's never too young to be godly. It is never too young to be dedicated to the worship of God according to the commandments of God. It is never too young. I often bring up the Reverend Jonathan Edwards, who was we might call a spiritual prodigy. You know what a prodigy is, right? It comes from the word prodigious, which means expansive, right? The prodigal son, he went everywhere and spent everything he had, right? He went everywhere, right? We talk about a piano prodigy, that they have learned everything so quickly that they are so talented at such an early age. Well, Jonathan Edwards was a spiritual prodigy. He was. And while we may not have many Edwardses to entertain over the centuries, still, he stands as an example of what the Lord would do with a dedicated youth, right? A dedicated youth. Children, Jonathan Edwards is an example to follow, if you might follow him. You may not have the gifts, you may not have the opportunity, but he is an example to be followed. It's never too young to be godly. 29 years old, this great King Hezekiah, when he came to power. And he outstripped those older kings that had come before him in his godliness and in his reformations. All right, so the proclamation of the king then in the first year of his reign, an immediate change, no delay. We've had the overturning of a presidential administration just recently, and everyone was amazed at the speed of which everything went forward in the first 100 days and all of that. Well, here was a new administration in Israel, and in 8 days, the temple had been cleansed. All of the vessels that Ahaz had destroyed and cast out, they refashioned and sanctified and put into service before the Lord. It tells you something, doesn't it? It tells you something that even during the days of Ahaz, there was a pent-up spirituality even within the nation, such that when someone like Hezekiah came to power, those gates were opened and those spiritual floods went forth, and those Levites and those priests were ready. Although not altogether, as we see toward the end of the chapter, it was the Levites that had to take the lead in the offerings because the priests were not as forward to sanctify themselves as those Levites were, interestingly. Yet the Lord provided for them, even in that day. So there was a command then to offer sin offerings. We will see this a little bit later on, the sin offerings that they offered, and a part of that was that they came and laid their hands on those animals. This is a sacramental transfer of guilt. It's only sacramental. It's not a real transfer of guilt, but it is sacramental in that it points away from itself to a spiritual reality, that our sins are being laid on something other than ourselves. The Lord is forgiving us, and they should have seen their Messiah in those sin offerings. More on that later as we come to Proverbs 14. Notice also that although this was a new reformation in the history of Israel, it was not new in the way that it was prosecuted. And this is a very important point that we as exclusive psalmody people understand, and yet largely the visible church does not understand. That when in the days of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, in the days of Jehoshaphat, when there were those wonderful reforming kings in the southern kingdom where the temple of God was, when their predecessors had turned aside from following the Lord and followed false worship, false gods, that when they came to return the people to proper worship, it was not, look, the Lord has done something new, so we need something new. It was, let's go back to the Word. Let's go back to the Scriptures. And if our reformation is going to be sincere, if it's going to be upright, we will follow what the Lord said to do. And so, when they sing the words of David and Asaph the seer. When they play the instruments that David had ordained for the worship of God. As you might imagine, I've had conversations with people over the years about the doctrine of exclusive psalmody, and very often I hear the argument, no, you don't understand. When there's new things going on in Israel, they always write new songs. The scripture record just doesn't support that. In fact, all the way forward, if you fast forward all the way to the restoration in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, when they laid the foundation of the temple and began worshiping there again, what did they sing? The words of David and Asaph the seer. What instruments did they use? The instruments of David that he had ordained. So was the commandment of God by his prophets. It's really not that new. When they put things back in order, they put it back in order to the scriptural form. Yes, Pastor, but what about instruments? Instruments, you know, we're told in the Psalms that we're supposed to be using instruments. This passage is a definitive passage for helping us to understand that, and I will point your attention here to verse 27. Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar, and when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. When did they use the instruments? During the time when they were sacrificing animals. Why did the Lord give them instruments during that time? And it is why all of our reforming fathers, from Calvin onward until the 19th century, spoke of instrumental worship as Judaic worship, because it was always related to the temple. Because the people of God, when they came to Jerusalem three times in the year to sacrifice, and they came from all over, and there were, I don't know how many animals sacrificed. It says here that there were thousands. And certainly that's what Jerusalem looked like during those feast days of Tabernacles, Booths, and Weeks. Tabernacles, Weeks, and Passover. Certainly it was important for the people of God that they would not be overcome by the signs and smells and sounds of a slaughterhouse. The Lord gave them something sweet. The Lord gave them something professional. They had professional Levites that played instruments and a professional choir that sang worship song to mollify the blow of so much carnage. And when that temple worship passes away with its carnage, the instruments pass away as well with it. And so then after they had stopped offering and stopped playing and stopped singing, then Hezekiah commanded, apart from sacrifices, for psalms to be sung. And then they sang psalms without instruments, because the instruments were not required, because they were not offering animals at that point. So this is the teaching of our reforming fathers. This has maintained through some minority expression down even to today. And this is our belief here, and it was indeed the teaching of the Westminster Assembly. So the king then commands them, "Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the house of the Lord." And now it's the congregation's turn. And they bring sacrifices and thank offerings, as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And it says that there were 70 bullocks, so that makes 70 bullocks, 100 rams, 200 lambs. All these were offered for a burnt offering, and then also consecrated things, 600 oxen, 3,000 sheep, such that the priests were too few. Well, isn't that an amazing thing? And would we not all love to see that the worshipers came in so many that the people of God would need more officers to serve them, week by week, month by month, day by day? So we have the Reformation under King Hezekiah. It will continue for another two or three chapters as we hear the greatness of the movement of God's Spirit in those days. There's a lot more things to be said about the chapter, but I hope that these have been encouraging to you. Let's go ahead and pull up our stakes here and move on to